Good morning. Good morning. Dan Wise, Wise Media Group. We're back again with Spotlight Thursday, and each week it gets more and more interesting. Today, we've got some awesome guests with us. We've got, you can go ahead and pop up the widescreen so everybody can see. We've got Brianna Stratton, who's sitting at the table right now with Healing Rowan Creations and Photography. We've got Mr. Pablo sitting over there in the corner over there with Cyclops Tattoo. I know a lot of you probably, definitely way more people know him than know me right now. So this is going to be great for my business. We have Michael Gouliard sitting over here in the far left. He's with Next Home Realty. And last but not least, we have Jesus Lopez over there sitting there looking dapper as ever with Kingdom Capital. So thank you guys for joining us. Also, we're going to be doing some giveaways today. We've got, $50, $60 worth of cash giveaway. So at the end of every interview, you remember the game where you got to spot the difference. So you're going to see an image pop up on the screen. You've got to make sure you're on our YouTube channel, which there's a link in the description. And if you don't know where our YouTube channel is, just go over to Wise Media Group, look us up on YouTube, watch the live stream from there. And you got to put your answers in there. The first person to get the answer will reach out to you after the stream. We'll get your Cash App, Venmo, whatever is convenient for you, and we'll send you some cash. So there's going to be a spot the difference picture at the end of every interview. So after Brianna's, keep your eyes open because the screen's going to pop up. With that said, Brianna, good morning.
Good morning.
So you said you're nervous. Why are you nervous? You're like the, if you don't know Brianna, she's also the Downtown Association, the Yakima Director.
Events Coordinator.
Events Coordinator.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're here to talk about today. You've doing some really cool things.
I am. Yeah. I decided to open up my own business.
So tell us a little bit about, because you and I spoke, and this is a really cool segment to see. But and a lot of you guys sitting in the background that have been there, done that, hit different hurdles. Brianna right now is started. She's got two businesses that are opening, but she also still has her day job. So she's not just going, oh, I'm going to go start a business. This is going to be easy. She knows there's going to be time and effort and work put into it. So she's not quitting her day job until the business takes off, which means you probably don't get any sleep.
That's true.
So how did you come about this? What was kind of the motivation to make you start doing the business on top of your really cool day job?
Honestly, so during COVID, it messed up everything for everybody for a while. And my husband lost his job helping take care of me with my medical issues and our children. And we were trying to think like, what can we do that, you know, would help our family? And I've always been into photography. So I started doing photo sessions. And then my husband started making jewelry and it just kicked off. Kids love it now. My son helps make the jewelry pieces. My daughter's been learning. And it was just a way for us to be together and try to better our lives.
And so your family's interest in crystals, I think you kind of gave us some information. That was kind of what inspired doing this. Because like you said, your kids helped you with this. How did the whole family interest kind of create the inspiration to, I mean, when I think about starting a business, crystals is like the last thing I would imagine.
Right. So I have always collected crystals my whole life. I started with my grandmother. And so I have tons of crystals around the house. And then I would start buying crystal necklaces from little stores around town or online. And my husband was like, you know, I could make that because he loved making bills with wire. And so he was like, I think I can do that. And so he tried it out one day and he really liked it and fell in love with it. And it was fun because he's never found something that he actually stuck with that liked. And this really kicked in and it kicked all of our kids into gear.
And how old are your kids again?
9 and 7.
9 and 7. I met the little one.
Yes.
She likes to be the star of the show.
She sang for you.
Yes, she did. She did. Beautiful voice she had. Can you, like, what kind of jewelry, like, what's your style of jewelry that you guys like to make? And when you say photography, you have, like, area you like to stick to, like what's your specialty when it comes to photography?
Yeah, so really quick on the jewelry, we have.
Let's pull up her. Oh, we already got it up. This is.
Oh, wait, let's go to the photography.
Let's go to the next one over, shall we? So this is the jewelry. So, and we're sharing this right now. Yeah,
those. So we make a wide range of jewelry that can go from $15 to some of our pieces around $600, depending on the type of crystals that are used. We do copper, silver, and gold. We've started creating bookmarks and other items that you can use as accessories. I made some hair pieces. So you can see.
Yeah, if there's anything you want us to look at specifically, let me know. Where do you
go up to the photos where it says, yeah, photos. So you can see that we have some really nice ones from Ellensburg Blues, which are a very rare stone, two really simple stones. That one right there that's showing, we just got from a mine in Chihuahua, Mexico. It's a Mexican agate.
How do you decide where you're going to like purchase your stones from? Because that sounds like you really got to have an interest in this. Are you spending a lot of time on the internet like going, oh, I like that?
So we work with a few select people because we want to make sure we know where all of our stuff is coming from. So locally, we work with Dimitri, who's right downstairs a lot, and then Robert Langford, who has Langford Lapidary. And then we do have a few online sailors that we go out to the mines directly and send us.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you guys just opened up, but you've been doing the jewelry thing. Because I remember when I met you when I first moved here at the Downtown Association, the events you guys
did. Yeah.
Sunday, right?
We do it Thursdays and Sundays.
Okay, the Sundays when I met you and your husband was there and you guys were selling jewelry. So when you take that to opening a storefront, like what went through your mind? Was it because now things change. It's not just a side hustle. Like you got to make money. You got to pay bills.
Yeah, now it's terrifying. It totally is. We put everything into opening this spot. So we have two of the areas that are dedicated to just jewelry. And then I have my photo studio in there, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then we also have a girl that we partnered with who's going to be doing paint nights in there. So we'll always have fun.
Who's the paint night?
Her name is Shelly, and it's called The Creative Space. It's really fun. She does kids paint nights, adult paint nights, sip and spin paint nights.
So great, bring your own alcohol.
We can always have fun.
Can you imagine what kind of painting you guys would have? Like super drunk. Like, this looks amazing. And the next morning you're like, what did I just create?
I've had that.
We'll have to talk to Kelly, have her come in maybe.
Absolutely.
Because that's who was that the other person we were talking to? Okay. So now going into this, like you're an offering specifically on the jewelry for a second still. What's the best way for people to find you? Facebook?
Yeah, so we post on Facebook very regularly, but we're also at the new location, which is 115 North 3rd Street.
Got the address on there anywhere?
It should be on there yet. Nope, not yet.
So say that one more time.
115 North 3rd Street. It is the big yellow building right across from City Hall.
Didn't you say this used to be the old Rod's House, right?
Yeah, it used to be the old Rod's House. So it still actually has some of their wording on the front window.
Okay.
Until I get that off.
So for those of you who don't know where she's at, just, you know, Google Rod's House. Really can get it up.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we also sell at the downtown Yakima Farmers Market when it's in.
And when is that? Season is?
It's going to start May 13th, and we just announced a brand new manager. So.
Oh, you got a new manager?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Nice. Who is it?
Her name's Susanna Wilcox.
All right, Susanna, we're going to be watching you.
You'll have to bring her in here.
Now let's go over to, we'll talk a little bit about the photography, because I see you take a lot of photos. Do you have this thing where you like taking photos of like half the faces?
I do.
It's a thing, right?
I do.
So I'm trying to find a picture of you to put on the thumbnail. Like every photo she has, like a half of a face.
Half of my face. Okay. My face, I like half of it. No, so in this photo studio, I want to feature one theme every month. I don't feel like I specialize in posing, getting your family shots, stuff like that. I like doing events, like candid, fun things. So how we have the studio set up for January is a glitter.
Oh, there's a little print. That was your daughter.
So that was my daughter, and that's my niece. Okay. So we have glitter set up everywhere, and this is a fun way for them. Kids don't even notice you're taking their pictures when they're playing, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I like it happening. Everyone comes in, and they have an experience that they are just having fun with me, and then at the end of it, they get all these great pictures versus it being a photo session where we're posing people trying to.
Everybody hates photo sessions.
Yes.
It's like forced smiles for these pictures up on your wall. It's like, look at all the horrible smiles. It's like a.
Absolutely.
We try to do it with our dogs. And it's.
I like to try to get as much candid shots as I can. We normally have music playing in the background. We have bubbles going, so the kids are laughing. There's normally Disney music playing. And
how big is the studio for Earth photography?
This room is, I think, about 200 square feet.
Okay.
But again, I have five other rooms in that building.
Wow.
So
that's all yours.
I could put 10.
Look at you. Moving up in the world. Well, that's super cool. Now, what kind of camera? Like, do you have a is this iPhone cameras? Do you guys have like DSLRs? What is your?
I have a few cameras. Yeah. So I have a Nikon and a Canon.
Okay.
I kind of switch back and forth between them. I haven't decided if I like one better than the other yet. And then for most of my mini sessions, I also offer a Polaroid shot too, just for fun, for memories. Normally the kids really like to take that home.
Polaroids are great. I got to talk to you about that because in the new studio, every time we get a guest coming in, we want to take a Polaroid and we're going to have like the wall of fame, shame. I don't know. It depends on how the interview goes, I guess. But it would be fun. Maybe you can help us with that. When it comes to, so I don't know if it's similar at all for you, but like we do video work and I don't know really shit about doing videos and like how to use the cameras. I just figure out what I like and kind of meet with that. Did you go to school for this or did this kind of develop over just taking pictures and you found out, hey, I kind of like doing this?
Yeah, I did not go to school for it. I just started taking photos at a pretty young age. And then I started doing event photos because my sister was in rodeos and she was the rodeo queen for a few years. And so after I got the hang of doing events, I was like, oh, I really like this. And then my friends started messaging me and be like, hey, will you do my pictures? Will you do my pictures? I did a few weddings and I did have it where you could regularly book sessions for a while. And then when we opened the space, I decided I really just wanted themed mini fun sessions, like a little selfie museum, but one room.
I was going to come see it yesterday, but I was getting this ready all day. Are you going to be there today?
Six.
Maybe I'll come over after. I'll come check it out. We're going to ask you one more last question. Michelle, let's pull up the first group images here. No. No. You're on the wrong one. Just go back to that. Yep. Now scroll. Like go on the image and scroll up. Other way. There you go. That, come on, Shelly. Right there. That was good. Make that big. All right. So if you're watching this right now, you want to go over to our YouTube channel. Make it big, Shelly. You want to go over to our YouTube channel. And spot the five differences must answer on YouTube. So just go to the image, click the two arrows in the bottom right hand corner. There. Shelly doesn't normally do the button, she's still learning, and she's my girlfriend of 20 years. So, can you tell by the bickering? So, spot the five differences. The first person to submit those answers on YouTube, you can either do it in the live chat or the comments. First person to come through, we're going to reach out to you, and this one is going to be worth $20, which can be a Cash App, Venmo, Zelle, and no, you guys can't play. Well, you can if you want to play. Okay, so you still have us on the small screen, right, Shelly? Okay. So last thing is we have your Facebook pages. Do you have any events that are upcoming that you want people to know about, people can come to, anything you want to break off?
Yes. So I am planning our grand opening for first Friday in February. So that will be February 2nd. From 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. We have a few fun vendors coming to join us doing permanent jewelry. I'll have a plant vendor in there and we'll probably be giving away free gifts for the first 10 people. So
free gifts are always nice.
You heard a rumor.
So guys, definitely you want to go check out Brianna Strutton and let's guys, give you a quick second. Take a screenshot of this. If you haven't figured it out yet, take a screenshot because we're going to give you about 10 more seconds pulling it off the screen.
Oh, five.
Wasn't this fun when we were kids? We all did this, right?
I did. Man, still do.
I still do. It's entertaining. But there were some really hard ones. I'm like, I can't put those out there. People are going to give me negative reviews because they're so hard. All right. So you should have had time to take a screenshot or a photo with your phone. Now let's go back to Brianna real quick to her first Facebook page. So this is the photography. So you can find her. There's a link in the description of this video if you want to go check her out. If you want to contact her, there's an email, there's a phone number in the description. Definitely. And if they mention that they came to you from Wise Media Group, I don't know. Maybe she'll have a cool offer for you. I don't really know. We didn't really discuss that, so I put her on the spot.
If you come into the shop this month in January and tell me that you saw us on the media podcast here, I will give you 15% off. Jewelry or photos.
Oh, that's not a bad deal. All right. Thank you. Oh, one more. Let's go to, so this is the second one, right?
Yep.
So both of her social medias are on here on the description, guys. Check out Brianna Strutton, Healing, Rowing, Creation, and Photography, and come see her at Downtown Association at Yakima when we get cranking again when the snow is done. Thank you, Brianna.
Thanks for having me.
Very much. All right. While we're waiting for our next guest, which is going to be Pablo, he's going to pop over here in a second. Kelly, can you go to our website real quick, tab one? you can go ahead. Get out of the chair now, Brianna. Take your water with you. Guys, over on our website at wisemediagroupllc.com, go up, Shelly, all the way to the top of the website. So at the top of the website, you're going to see Business Thursdays. If you click on Business Thursdays, we want to find out if anybody's interested in sponsoring any future episodes. So when you click on it, it's going to bring you through a series of questions, which Shelly's going to show you. And going down, Shelly. So this is the form that you'll fill out. And it's going to have like your business information, your name, phone number, contact info, basic stuff like that. When you get down towards the bottom, keep going right there, the orange one, keep going a little bit lower. So it's going to ask you if you're interested in being a sponsor or a guest or both. So if you're interested in being a sponsor of some of our upcoming episodes, and we've also got something really cool starting in February over at SportsCenter. We're going to be hosting every Thursday, we're going to be hosting a podcast out of the SportsCenter upstairs. Absolutely haunted. It used to be a brothel. Really creepy stuff going on up there. So if you're interested in sponsoring any of those, fill out your information in here. We do not care it. We do not sell it, but we might sell you some advertising packages. All right. So today, for our second guest, we have Pablo. How do I say your last name, Pablo?
Garcia.
Is he in the camera okay, Shelly? Focuses on him and all that good stuff? No? What do you need him to do?
No. Do I need to go lower?
I felt like the chair was too low.
How's that?
Yeah, I was just saying.
Okay. This is all the fun of doing stuff live. We always have to make adjustments.
Man, this is all new to me.
So I met Pablo, I guess, a couple months ago. Pablo is it's not top secret anymore, is it?
Not so much, no.
We talked about that at all?
Yeah,
we talked about that.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
I met Pablo, and he was actually, you know Tony does some work with you on websites and whatnot, and you've got an amazing following of tattoo business here in Yakima. You're also opening it's like a pimp suite of tattoos. It's like a single chair setup.
Yeah, basically that's what it would be.
I'm assuming you signed like a lifetime lease in there with the amount of work you've done.
No, listen, hope not. Right. I do have plans for the future. I don't know if I'll be there ever, but it is more so like a place I can get away and then just focus on the client and their experience and give them my absolutely best work.
Because it's just one chair, right?
One chair.
You've got music up there. You've got a little wet bar. I mean,
I wine and dine you up there. You know, you want to have a shot. You want to have a Corona. You know, you want to have some. Whatever you want to do, you can choose off, throw them on the corner. It's for you. It's
beautiful.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how long have you been in the tattooing business? How did you start tattooing? Let's start there. What was your first tattoo?
My first tattoo must have been when I was in my uncle's home. And it was just one of my friends, you know, just some dumb stuff. But that kind of sparked the interest in the craft itself. I've always been an artist since the third grade. Tattooing just took a different interest in my creative, I guess, mindset as far as like the craft. I wanted to learn the machine, I wanted to learn how to build a needle, I wanted to learn how to tune a machine, and that just kind of snowballed.
Right.
Before you knew it, in high school, they're like, you do tattoos? Yeah.
Was it originally like stick and puck tattoos?
No, it was always
with a gun?
Yeah.
Okay.
I build a machine out of this household stuff.
You would have done well in prison.
They build
DIY there in prison all the time. So from starting as a tattoo artist to where you are now, because now it's been how many years roughly?
So full time I've been doing this since
2009. And how would you say that your personal style has evolved over the years? Have you found more of like a niche of what you'd love to do versus I'm just going to do a tattoo because you paid me for it?
No, I think I definitely do see tattooing differently than most in what would be, a market. I've gotten very good at doing all styles of tattooing, which I think has contributed to me being in business and doing it good for so many years. But I do have a focus, which would be more like the black and gray realism, like portraits of animals, people, which people are the ones that definitely, you know, have to know what you're doing.
I've seen some tattoos online of people getting tattoos of like a person, and it's like, man, that person looks like they got hit by a bus. They're all swollen looking.
But that's some of the first artwork that.
So were you like an artist as a kid? Did you like to draw?
I've always been an artist.
Are almost all tattoo artists also good at drawing?
Not all of them. Some of them are just tattoo artists, you know, and that's the fact that to the public, sometimes if you're in the market for a tattoo, you have to spot the difference. Because there's artists that are just tattoo artists.
What's the difference? Like what?
Some of them are just more craft-based, which is just how to apply a tattoo. Pick something off the wall and put it on you, you know, and some of them, like I consider myself, I coach the guys at my shop to kind of think in the same realm. And that would be like, hey, you have to see tattoos differently, more as if a client comes in the shop, you know they want a tattoo, but you have to figure out what. You have to ask them all these questions. What would be best for them? Style? Where would they want it? And would it look there? You know, because you don't know.
Right.
You know? So some artists are just, yeah, flash off the wall, I'll stick it on you 100 bucks. But where I want to find out more.
When you look at like a picture, if I came in and said, hey, here's a photo of like my dog, could you look at that and just tattoo it onto somebody, like just, from looking, or do you need to?
No, I would have to build a map. I call it a blueprint, a stencil, you know, because maybe at some point goal that I would want to do is a freehand one.
Right.
You know, I feel like sometimes some artists will use that as a cop out, just being unprepared.
Right.
But just freehanded. You know, because they didn't take the time to prepare.
Because even the best of artists, it's such a slow process. You don't want to have to keep, you know.
Yeah. No, you have to be prepared, you know, like in anything. You want your food prepared well.
You get clients that come in or potential clients that want something that's unrealistic. Like it's not, you have to try to explain them and break their heart. Go, look, man, I'd love to put this on you, but you're not going to be happy with the end result.
You know, it took me a lot of years to figure that out. And it was like, how do I find the words, or how do I have that conversation with the client when I think some of their ideas are stupid, you know? And I'm like, hey, no, that is not going to work out, you know? And I've gotten good at it, you know, and I coach my artists at the shop to do the same because, yeah, you don't want to just take people's money, you know? At least I don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, because you got people throwing the money at you as it is.
Yeah.
I could even get this guy in for a podcast. Like, yeah, I'm kind of booked up for like the next like.
So I tell him, dude, it's not just about the money. Let's just figure out what you want. And if you're the right guy for it.
Right. Do you find people when they get their first tattoo, it's kind of like your first child, your firstborn.
It means so much more to them. Yeah, it's really special, you know, and actually we're thinking of ways to have, I don't know, just maybe a program for your first tattoo,
right?
You know? Because I think it's really special, you know, and especially you walk in the shop and you want us to do it. You want me to do it. Because I've had, you know, tattoos are generational. And I've had clients where I've tattooed them for 10 years. And then now their kids are old enough to get a tattoo. And the first person they think of is me. You know, that's special.
Yeah.
You know, I hold that dear in my heart to be like, dang. I get to tattoo your child now. Now he's going to come in and get tattooed by me the rest of his life, hopefully. So it's like a pivotal moment because, yeah, you're going to break their skin. They're going to get a tattoo. You want to make sure that their idea is going to be relevant for the next 10 years. Because at 18, that's when they get to get their first tattoo, right? 10 years from there, it's only 28.
Right.
You're going to do a lot of growing in the next 10 years. But you're still young.
Tattoo expand.
Yeah. Yeah, it could shift on your body.
You know? It seems like tattoos are way more socially acceptable now.
Oh, dude, they're everywhere.
Because we used to talk about like, oh, when you get old someday, you're going to have that tattoo stuck on your body. Now it seems like you see a lot of like elderly people.
Yeah.
Their tattoos going, yeah, I still got it and I still love it.
Yesterday we had a lady, she was in her 80s. You know, she's getting tattooed.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. And then, is it harder to tattoo an older skin than a new skin?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it moves around, I guess.
That
breaks easier, bleeds more.
It's I consider it kind of, I feel it, or the texture would be like this paper.
Wow. A
little thin, kind of coarse.
Can't wait to get these.
Right. So if you want to get tattoos, get them now. When you are old, enough to get them and they look good.
So Pablo, what's like a memorable experience or like a unique challenge that you faced either with your studio or kind of developing into who you are? Is there any situation really sticks out to you that it's like, man, that was a defining moment that this is the industry I knew I wanted to be in?
I guess, you know, just, I don't know if it was I can't think of a pivotal moment, but I do see that, I guess, the reward of it, you know, just the flexibility and the responsibility that comes with that, I enjoyed. And I was like, man, during COVID, we were shut down for like 6 months, you know.
That people were terrified to get tattoos. They don't want to be touched.
No, it wasn't that. People were, hey, can I get in? I still want to get in. When can you get me in? Dude, hands are tied, you know.
Pablo's got to speak easy. That's too far. What's the password? Three knocks.
You know, we were about our craft. Like, doing everything we can to keep everybody safe. But Uncle Sam was going to show up. It's like, come on, you know. All these other businesses are open. Why can't we be open? You know, we're providing therapy through these hard times for our clients.
You really are. Yeah. A lot of people tell me tattoos is like a therapy for them.
Yeah. And, you know, it was just, I guess, those rewarding moments throughout my career. And I seen that early on just from that, you know, the clients, the way they treat me, the relationships you build, the connections you make in business, and that's what kept me going in this, and I think I'll keep going.
Is there any pieces that, I mean, I know you're proud of all the work you do, but is there like a specific piece? Is there anything on your social media that like, this is a great demonstration of what somebody's not sure what they want? Where would they go on your social media? Photos?
Yeah, this is the area where we're probably like, we actually post more stuff, you know? But we're always
go to his photos, Joey.
We usually type this, but like this is some recent stuff. A lot of it is from a couple of my apprentices, which we have three apprentices.
What's an average tattoo cost? That's always a question.
Well, right now we actually just met with my crew and we're like, hey, I think it's the economy is a little wild right now. Maybe we should shift our for the better, so people are more willing to come in. And because, you know, you think tattoos, you think they're expensive, and yeah, they can, but I feel like everybody deserves or should be able to afford it, you know.
Right.
And a lot of businesses are raising the prices, and I was like telling my guys, I'm like, hey, maybe we should lower prices, you know, and have more people come through, and they know they're going to get good work already. We're hoping that makes a difference. So we did lower them a little bit. So a tattoo would be just something basic, 100.
Okay. Well, what's something basic? Like on a
photo? You know,
photo,
something off
like, what's that scorpion over there?
What? Yeah, something like that. You know, that'd be something.
So that's
that would be one flash one. Art. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, if this starts to get more into like a custom realm.
Let's find a portrait on there. Let's see if we can find a portrait or a face. There we go. Go on that face right there. Because that looks like that's some detail. Who did that one?
I did that one.
That's beautiful.
That one last year.
Is that a specific person or is that just like?
No, it was more like it's about symbolic meaning to the client.
You can see the stars, yeah. the
It's about her mom. Wishing for the stars. Do it through just dreaming. Sometimes I forget what some of the
emotional tattoos probably also. I imagine it would cost more because you're really kind of digging into the detail of what they want. This is, you know, like something that they want to resemble what they're envisioning in mind.
Yeah. That'll make a good tattooer separate from a bad tattooer just because they care, you know? So now some days I go home and I'm like mentally drained, you know, because I have to listen to so many different clientele's, you know, I guess requests, and a lot of them are emotional. A lot of them are through, or they're coming out of a hard time, or they're in a hard time, you know, and I have to interpret that into visual art.
Yeah, because if you miss the mark, that's like they're stuck with this on their arm. It's like, yeah, that's not what I had in my mind.
I mean, sometimes I walk around and I'm just quiet. And I'm thinking about my tattoo and envisioning their tattoo, and I'm seeing how it would look, seeing how I'll play it on them, see which direction it would take on their own. Yes. I'm thinking that.
You probably know, the pigment of their skin, all that plays a role, right?
And then that jump into the craft. Okay, well, he's got this kind of skin texture, this kind of skin tone. How would I interpret that on their arm?
Do you ever get over emotional or like when you see your own work, do you ever like kind of like beat yourself up? And
oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what about, is that like a common theme amongst artists?
I think good ones, yeah. You should be able to like nitpick your artwork and see pinpoint areas that you could have done better. So that way the next one is better.
Do you and your, because I know you have people that you work with, like apprentice and whatnot, and other tattoo artists in your shop. You guys kind of give each other feedback and say, hey,
time.
As much as I know you're going to tell me this is great, but tell me what I can do better next.
Yeah. Yeah. I keep all my guys in check and then they keep me on check. And I tell them because I am the boss, but you don't have to.
Is it, hey?
Yeah. Like, and it, some of them do. They're like, oh, maybe you should do this right here. Or maybe try that. Or not. Like, yeah, you know, that's right. I missed that. And I think that's the culture that
we built.
Yeah, that we kind of harbored so that we all grow. And I mean, my apprentice of 2 years, Marcus, is absolutely killing it. Well, it took me 7 years to get that. You know, so it's culture that we're harboring there that I think has led to growth amongst all of us.
So do you have any interesting, and also guys, so you have two locations now. You have one in the Larson building, which is like a...
Yeah, that's more of my, you know, I call it creative studio.
Okay.
And it's that, like, to get my thing, I need to do some business, work on a project, or a special client, I come here to Larson, you know. But Cyclops has been around for a lot of years, and that's definitely the go-to place.
Where's it at?
1406 Rootville Boulevard.
Is the address on there, Shelly?
Across from P&H.
Go to details about video. Click on that. See if it pops up. Nope. So tell us exactly where it is for people that don't know.
1406 Rootville Boulevard. You know, I mean, it's everywhere. If you're pretty
people know the
handy on navigating Google Maps, yeah, you know, you could find it pretty quickly.
And you're on social media, is Facebook. You're also on Instagram.
Instagram.
Where are you more active?
Instagram.
Okay.
And then it kind of jumps into Facebook.
Okay.
I am trying to be more active. You know,
not enough hours a day. And we'll go into the next question for him, but let's pull up the, let's go into the next.
I guess I could say that if they're still listening.
Yeah, they're still listening.
Yeah, the best way to book something is come in the shop, call us first if you're unsure that if we're open, but we're always there.
Right.
12 to 7.
Oh, what's your phone number?
Saturday. It's 509-469-8896.
And there is a link, the description to his Instagram and his Facebook in the description of the video. And while Shelly's showing the next pick five, on that sheet I gave you, Shelly, you should have the next one down. First one was the house. Second one is probably the chicken. So while she pulls that up, guys, go ahead. Remember, you do this. Click over to YouTube. When you put your answers in there, find the five differences. First person to find all five. This one is also worth $20. Do you have any upcoming events? Anything you want people to know about, where people can come or be anywhere?
We are hopefully going to be planning another Valentine's Day flash event, which last year was incredibly successful. I don't know, we might have tattooed like 800 people.
Wow. In a day. How many tattoo artists did that take?
So it was six of us. Yeah. And then, you know, they're fun.
Right.
It's great for the community, you know, to get out and come over here.
Do you have people that are like, I get a tattoo every week? They're just so addicted to tattoos. They're like, I'm running out of canvas.
Yeah. You know,
do you ever have to like black something out and then restart?
Yes. That's more and more like, I guess, coming out. Okay. I'm horrible tattoos, and I don't know what to do. For me, glasses get blackening.
I see. Is that become a new thing? I see they're like the really wide tattoo guns that just creates like.
Oh yeah, just a large mag.
Yeah,
that's a magnum needle.
Is that something? Is that
that's just like no? They've been
around. Okay.
Yeah,
we did an interview with his name is Robbie Rapole in Florida. He was on Ink Masters on one of the episodes, him and his brother. That was the first tattoo guy integrity. But my daughter got a tattoo by him. She was super excited because she watched him on TV. My older daughter is a tattoo artist, so she's definitely going to be watching this. She's in New York City.
I know you mentioned it. I still haven't met her though.
No, she keeps dragging her. She works so much, you know, as a tattoo artist. It's like hard to say.
You got
to
cater around the
client. Yeah. Sure. And all of her business. What would you recommend to an upcoming, and I meant to ask you this, Brianna, as well. We might have you back for a second to ask you a question if you're still around. Somebody that's just getting into tattooing. And guys, take a screenshot of this because we're about to get it off. You got 10, 15 more seconds. If you haven't figured it out, take a screenshot. An upcoming tattoo artist, an artist, somebody that wants to get into the industry, but they're scared. They don't want to get a bad. Where would you suggest they start mentally and physically?
So I think the number one would be drawing. Draw. Because that is ultimately the baseline for tattooing. If you can't draw, you can't tattoo.
Okay.
Bottom line. So why would you tattoo on anybody if you can't draw?
And if they can draw, how would you suggest that they like?
So if they can draw, keep drawing.
But I mean, but like
from there, the transition would be put a resume together. Don't just walk into a shop looking for an apprenticeship without a resume.
Right.
You wouldn't do that. Try to get a job somewhere else. But put a portfolio together of finished work. You know, that is going to tell a potential mentoree, like, okay, I can work with this individual. And then from there, hopefully they can get you. There's a lot of competition right now, you know?
So let's say, like, I like the idea of tattooing. I'm a good artist, but I'm like, man, I've got to get somebody to trust me to be the guinea pig to put something potentially permanent on them.
I guess the right channel would be. Okay. But if you do have somebody, your friends, you know, they'll let you do
let you practice.
Yeah, do that.
Is your boy going to do tattoos?
I don't think so.
Is he going to get tattoos?
He's pretty tech savvy. I don't
know. Well, he might work in the studio with us then.
That's why he's here. He wanted to check this out and see, you know, the podcast.
Well, we've got a new program I'd love to extend it to where we actually bring in, like, for birthday parties and whatnot, instead of going to Chuck E. Cheese, your son and, like, three or four of his friends, they get to come in, learn how to do the thumbnail, learn the audio, the engineering, and then create their own episode. So they get to actually start, do everything themselves.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, when I met you, we stumbled. Yes, right here. As I, and I'll mention that that was part of the idea at the creative, but the tech area is not my realm.
we got your mini me over here to help out.
Yeah.
Well, Pablo, man, guys, go check him out. Most of you probably already know who he is, but he's all over Facebook. Go check out his location. Like you said, if you're interested in booking something, just go into a studio and say, hey, when can you guys squeeze me in?
Man, we love seeing you in person, taking through the process to you in person, because that's ultimately the best way to help.
And probably the more prepared they come in with knowing what they want is going to yield a better end result from you, right?
Yep, definitely.
Cool. Pablo, anything you want to leave people with that I didn't ask about?
No, man. I guess I'll just do it again sometimes, you know? Let's
chop it up again. Pablo, thank you very much, brother.
Thank you.
All right. While we're waiting for our next guest, which is Mr. Michael Gilliard, he'll be popping over here. Go. You can have a seat whenever you're ready, Mike. Perfect. Shelly's already ready to rock and roll. If you're interested in being a guest on Wise Media Group's podcast for the Business Spotlight Thursdays, or you're interested in potentially promoting or being a sponsor for some of our upcoming episodes on our website, the top of the website, go to the top, Shelly, so they can see the link. At the very top of the web, very top of the website, you'll see Home Services Podcast. Click on Business Thursdays, and that will bring you to this cool little form down here. You will see, put some quick business information in there, phone number, all that good stuff, social media, so we can share it like we're doing right now. And then the most important question, if you are interested in sponsoring an episode, you can click right there. I'm interested. I'm only interested in being a guest, or I'm interested in both, you know, which is great too. So yeah, let's get on that. And now we have our third guest with us, Michael Gilliard. How are you doing, Mike?
Doing well. And I'm going to teach you how to actually pronounce my Latin name.
is he in camera?
Or? Yeah, no, that's all right. Yeah.
Okay.
It is actually Goulart. I have to think of like cool art, Goulart.
Goulart.
Yeah, I'll make it easy. Yeah.
Goulart. It sounds like a spaghetti dish.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Goulart.
So I apologize.
Then. No, you don't need to apologize. Everyone does it. So yeah. Those were some killer interviews.
Thank you. I met you, you know, a few months ago. You're also friends with Tony.
I am.
Tony's a man. He like knows everybody.
I know. Down. Yeah.
So, Mike, you're with Next Home MG Realty, right? So give us a little bit about, everybody knows what a real estate agent is. But, you know, there's a reason why we don't interview a lot of real estate agents and mortgage brokers and insurance brokers. because it can tend to be somewhat of a boring industry.
Sure. Yeah.
But we got to come down and check out your operation, and we might be doing some future things together. Who knows? But you have, first, your energy is really cool. Like, you're a personable guy. I don't feel like I'm walking in buying a used car from somebody. I feel like I'm getting to sit down and talk about my interest in wanting to buy a house. So tell us a little bit how you got into this, what your passion came from, and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. And if I'm truly being totally honest, when I got into this, I didn't even think I was going to like it. You know what I mean? I did not have the desire and the passion about homes, like sometimes real estate agents will tell you. I get into it thinking I'll try it, you know, a little bit part two. And then 3 months into it, I had 22 homes on the market, and I really enjoyed it, but I enjoyed the people a lot more than homes. You know, I've been to hundreds and hundreds of home inspections. I know homes well, but that's not the part of the job that actually excites me. What excites me, and I'm amazed at hearing that interview, how much my job is exactly like a tattoo artist with how many questions we ask. It's crazy. You know what I mean? Because we have people who are literally going to change their entire lives, you know, by getting a home, and they're going to stay there a long time. You know, I think back to even when I built my first home and I designed it, and it was a 3-year process, and it was a house planning to raise my kids in, and we stayed there 14 years, and it was a 3-year process, just changing this on the wall and that size of that room. It's very detailed. So I always try to take that approach always with my clients, so that it's about them. And I always joke with them saying, you know, the floor plan's up to you. I'm not going to live in this house.
Right.
You know, you're going to live here. I promise. I'm not even going to ask to move in, you know, but yeah, I really enjoyed that part of it. I enjoyed the people end of it always completely. Yeah.
So what would you say kind of separates your business model?
Okay.
You have agents and stuff that work with you, yeah. But like, what separates you from, like, if I were to walk into, if I Google real estate agent,
yeah. Right? So I spent 13 years in this industry working for one of the largest companies in this town. Okay. And I found myself going to a home on the market, sitting down and looking through hundreds of the photos, trying to write a description of this, trying to do everything I can. And I realize I'm in a huge office with all these people, and I'm doing it all alone. Like, I was sitting in that room alone for years and going, this concept, right, you know. So when I started this company, the point is I wanted to surround myself with a team of the people. The team's not huge, just 6 of the people. We are going to add a few more. But now when a home goes on the market, we've got a team sitting there looking at the photos, talking about the home, the best way to get it sold quickly. We have a team there talking about where we're going to advertise it, how we're going to get, how the videos are going to look on TikTok, how many people we can get to see the video. And it's really working tremendously. I mean, I've got TikTok videos that are breaking 17,000 on the views just in Yakima County. And I'm looking at other agents in some of the videos, and they're averaging 400 views, you know? So this team concept we're doing is working tremendously, you know? So that's what separates us, is you're not just hiring one guy. I've got a lot of experience, but you are really getting.
And it's crazy to hear when you hear about, like, some of the more, like, professional industries. You think about, like, real estate, insurance. You don't think of TikTok. You don't think of,
I know,
of stuff like that. When you think of TikTok, you think of, like, goofy little girl doing a dance off the corner somewhere.
Yeah.
TikTok really has kind of, it is an amazing tool to utilize for advertising your business. And that was one of the questions we were going to go to next, is when you create your, do you have a theme in mind when you're creating it? Because you're on TikTok, you're not putting a 20-minute video.
Gosh.
You're taking, like, the best of the best of the best to make 20 seconds out of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Who does that?
I do it myself.
Okay.
Personally, of course, I get input from, you know, the rest of the team, but I do it. Yes, the concept starts from the first time you walk into a house. You know what I mean? In some houses, every house I sell is not too beautiful. Some houses are absolute junk, and you got to advertise them as that. They're cheap,
right,
for a reason, you know. And it is what it is. So it really is a different approach to every house. Houses are not the same, and you can't just duplicate the same on the video, same words. So expanding on that and then trying to get that same message across, you know, to Facebook, to TikTok becomes a challenge. And
it's like a whole other job on its own, right?
Oh, it is. The amount of hours I spend in front of it. And like I said, when I started doing this, I said, I'm going to try to spend 2 hours a day, folks, on real estate. It was 3 months and I was 14 hours every day. I'm still doing it.
If Shelly's on the widescreen right now, if anybody in the room has dealt with that, raise your hand.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, spending all that those hours.
You know, oh my God.
Crazy. Yeah.
You know, people don't realize what goes into it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It's like, sure, the commissions are great, but so from the time of like listing a house to a potential sale, I mean, sometimes they go really fast, but okay. Well, now we're hitting a time where it's kind of, you got some stuff on the market for a few minutes now.
Yep.
So you have to be able to really prepare and save and organize and be strategic, because you've got an office, you've got bills, you've got secretaries, you've got all these things you got to take care of. And you might go a month with slow sales.
Yep. And the average agent who spends an hour with a client spends 11 hours working for that client that client is ever going to see. And that's average. So when you get somebody who's actually producing a lot of sales, that can turn into 20 hours easy. For every hour I spend with my client, that's 20 hours I'm spending behind the scenes. So, you know, it can really consume a lot of time, and there's a lot to do.
And over on your website, was it Next Home?
MG Realty.
MG Realty. Yeah. Is this the best way for people that are interested to reach out to you?
They can call me. You know,
okay.
Most of my communication is done through Facebook a lot.
Right. And,
that's probably the second most way people reach out now, other than texting me. Here's my card if you want to give out the number and stuff.
Such a realtor.
I know. I just flipped right out, didn't
he? He wasn't prepared for that at all.
Yeah.
In addition, all of Michael's information is in the description of the video with the phone number. But if you do want to contact Michael, we've got the phone number right here, 509-949-3886. So do you have any recent, when I say success story, is there a story that like jumps out where it's like, man, I wish every time I sold a house was like this?
Yes, absolutely. And there is one that stands out a lot. And there was a young lady who was 19 years old and she had two children. And I sold her first house when she was 19 years old. I mean, she was working in a call center. She didn't have this high income job. But she called me 2 years later and she sold that home and she took the equity she actually made from that home and bought another home with it. Called me 3 years after that, sold that second home, took the equity, paid cash for home number three. She's 28 today. She just paid cash for 5 acres and she's building her dream home on it. I get choked up talking about it. Sorry. But I mean, it's just to see somebody that young into be a millionaire today for nothing but just purchasing a home when she was 19. It's an incredible story. I'd love to see everyone. It's getting harder and harder for people to buy homes. And this, you know, we could go on all day about that. But it is, she took a leap of faith at that age. That is crazy. And it really paid off for her.
Yeah. I actually wanted to ask you about that because Shelly and I are like, what did we do wrong?
It's brutal.
We got so scared to pull the trigger because we kept thinking, oh, the market's going down. But man,
it's not.
In real estate, you just pull the trigger, right?
Just pull it.
So question, because you have people looking at homes as investments, but if you're buying, let's say, your first home, I think there should be a distinct difference between purchase and investment. You're purchasing it and you shouldn't necessarily look at it as this is my investment, because
to a point. Yeah. Yep. And I,
until you get to like your second home, your investment home, right?
And that becomes, what you should really make sure you get everything on your checklist is more on your second home than your first. I'm brutally honest with the people, but when I'm showing them homes, I will tell them, I say, look, if you buy this home in this area, you'll be able to sell this in 2 to 3 years for a great profit because of this now, or you aren't because of this and that,
right?
You know? And so I tell people to, you know, I have two kids in their 20s. So I'm going to tell you the same way I tell it to them. Don't get too caught up on having your dream home the first time. Just get in the market as fast as you can. You will build equity so fast. The cheaper you spend, the quicker you're going to build equity. That's what a lot of people don't realize, is because the less you spend, the less interest you're going to pay. And that equity comes much quicker that way. So I tell people, I say, sacrifice a little bit on your first home. You know, it doesn't have to be in the dream area. It doesn't even have to be a dream home. It might even be a little bit tight for a couple of years. But when you go to home number two, like I've done so many times, and people have $100,000 equity.
You've got money now to put down.
In 3 years. Now they're getting a dream home and they're keeping the payments the same.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. You know, I had a client like that. They bought a house for me for $168,000. They sold it 3 years later. They spent $415,000 on a home just using the equity from the first house, and they kept the payment exactly the same. And they, you know, it's crazy to me. And they were living, you know, in a decent area, 26th and the Viola. And then they went to 86th Avenue to a five-year-old home that was four bedrooms and
the dream home.
The dream home. Yeah. It's crazy, you know?
Yeah. If dreams were easy, we'd all have them, right? But a lot of people, they want the results today, but they don't want to put the work today for what's needed tomorrow. So you mentioned having your checklist. Do you offer any kind of like a first home buyer checklist? Like, these are things, whether you're going to use me or use the guy down the street, this will save you a lot of heartache if you follow these instructions.
Yeah. I've been doing this for 16 years and I still keep a piece of paper in my filing cabinet. When somebody comes in, I write down the checklist with them because I don't want to forget anything, but it's like he was talking about getting a tattoo. They don't even realize exactly what they want yet. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes, I always tell people, a light turns on when you look at about the fifth home. And all of a sudden, I can shut up because you know what you like in a home, what you don't.
Right.
You know? But it takes about looking at 3 to 5 homes. And then people start to know, you know, they go, oh, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. I just shut up after about the fourth home.
Do you have access to like a checklist that somebody said, hey, send me your checklist?
Certainly email it to them. Absolutely.
So they can just reach out to you through Facebook, your website.
Yep. They can call me, text me.
They can also call them again and text them again at 509-949-3886. Let me see here. I think I have one more question for you. Oh, yeah. And while we're asking this question, shall we just pull up this last, I think we have maybe two more. It'll give it a second. It'll pop in there. Should scroll down to the next one. There we go. That one right there. So make it big. All right, guys. Remember, you answer these questions. This one is worth $20 as well, which will be sent to your Cash App, Venmo, whatever your method of payment is. On YouTube, spot the three differences. First person to submit the answers on YouTube, either in the live chat or the question or the comments, will contact you back to send you some money. So, Mike, do you have any like open houses coming up or any events that? Even if somebody's like, here's the thing. Even if you know that you want to buy a house maybe the next couple of years, shouldn't they be going to open houses now, kind of getting an idea of like what the process is like? Get some free coffee, some cookies meanwhile while they're at it.
Yeah, absolutely. They should. And yeah, so we are planning an event. I don't have an exact date yet. We're going to do it before the February is over, but somebody can actually reach out. So over the last 16 years, I have bought a lot of flip homes. I bought 4 of them last on the month. And I have contractors coming in. I've got to the loan officers coming in. If anyone's ever interested in doing that, we're going to do an event at our office. We are not going to do it like they do in like a lobby of a hotel. I am not going to try to tell you anything. This is strictly informational and it's truly to help you. And it's even good for first time home buyers to come in because we're going to talk about how to look at a home as an investment.
It's like real estate 101.
Exactly. And we're going to start from the beginning, but we're going to have contractors there. We're going to talk about important stuff, where you spend, you know, your money on a home and where you don't spend it. I had a client who came and he said, we just spent $8,000 to get this house ready to put the house on the market. And they didn't call me first. And I walked in and I said, I'm glad you did it, but you just spent $8,000 in all the wrong places. You're going to spend another $8,000 now in the right places. And the good news is that $8,000 you're going to spend in the right places, I'm going to get that per YouTube now.
So they're not out that original $8,000.
Exactly. Yep.
And I think it's
what we're going to talk about that kind of stuff.
I think it's important for the audience to remember, anybody watching today, anybody that comes on here, not that I'm a real estate expert or a tattoo expert or you know, I'm not an expert in building and taking photos. I am an expert in doing my homework on whoever's on here, and if we see the community hates you and you've got horrible reviews, we're not going to showcase you because there's no point. So we've done our homework on people like Mike and Brianna and Pablo and Jesus They've got good reputations in the community. So you can feel safe at the very least reaching out, doing your own homework and your own due diligence. But I think you'll find with all the individuals that come on here is the one thing they all have in common is they're not just looking at how fast they can get money out of your pocket. They're going to take the time, sit with you, and maybe you buy today, maybe you buy next year, maybe you buy from somebody else, but you're going to walk away with some free education at the very least. Mike, anything you want to leave people with that we didn't talk about?
The only thing I would just have to say.
I'm not even saying his last name. I'm not getting yelled at again.
I just want to leave people with that we are also hiring too. So if you ever had any interest.
For what?
For agents.
Oh, real estate.
Yep,
okay.
Yep. So if they've ever had any interest and they just want to sit and talk, just, you know, shoot me a text, whatever. And I'd love to sit and talk with you.
And I'm sure there's somebody out there who's going, oh, Dan, you didn't talk about interest rates or how much the house is, because that's all like, call Mike on that. We're not going to get into the interest rate section of the real estate world today. Mike, right. Thank you so much, brother.
You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. Guys, you got about 10 seconds left. Take a screenshot if you haven't figured it out. And first person to submit those answers, $1 bill will be coming your way. We got our last guest coming up. We got Mr. Jesus Lopez. And let's go ahead and jump over real quick to the website again, Shelly.
All right.
Yes, sir. Awesome. Can you headphones if you want, or you don't have to.
Mess up there.
Mike didn't want to mess up his hair over there, so I noticed that right away.
I thought we were supposed to have them on the first.
For me, it's easy. Move that microphone up a little bit. So, again, at the top of our website, you will see if you go to wisemediagroupllc.com, there's Business Thursdays at the very top. Click on that. It will bring you down to a questionnaire form, and you will use this questionnaire form for either if you want to be on as a guest on a Spotlight Thursdays, which is what we're doing right now, or if you want to be an advertiser with us, sponsoring some of our upcoming episodes, we'll work something out with you, and you'll do that. There's a question box right here. Just fill that out, and that will notify us to get in touch with you to figure out what you want to promote. We also do some investigative pieces, and we've also got a new segment coming up. We're going to be doing over at Sports Center, talking about the hauntings that went on there, and that's going to be a weekly episode, which I'm excited about. That sounds like a lot of fun. But with that said, let's jump over to Jesus. Salinas?
Yeah, so it's Salinas. A lot of people tend to mistake it, but Salinas Lopez.
Salinas Lopez. Okay. And you are with Kingdom Capital.
Correct.
And I'm not sure how did you find us? I'm not sure how we came about.
So, look, just like how Michael and, you know, was talking about as well, social media, man, a lot of people, they have to get really more into social media, especially because, you know, let's think about, like, as soon as anybody wakes up, what is the first thing people do? Grab the phone and go on social media, right?
Yeah.
But imagine you pop up on their screen, you know. I found you by actually doing that. You know, I go on Facebook, I try to see what kind of group you're at, what are the most popular groups in Yakima. On your group, find your phone to fill out.
Did you just call me the most popular group?
Yeah, because, you know, hey, I'm serious. Yeah, I'm like, you know what? This group right here is pretty popular. Like, I actually come from Seattle. I've only been here for about 6 months.
Well, me, you're right there with me, man.
Right. Well, I mean, being in Yakima, you know what? What here is really bring an audience. You know, I really want to be a part of an audience that is willing to show value. And I found your meeting.
Thank you. You definitely got to make sure you get in touch with Brianna as well, because she's kind of like in the industry of Yakima when it comes to pop-up tents, when it comes to the local area, getting together, Downtown Association of Yakima, probably better to do that. So we're also starting next month. We're going to be starting a weekly networking group, which you guys are all welcome, where we have trying to get it's going to be very much like BNI, where if you don't show up, you're off the team, you know, because that sucks. Is people come and then they don't come and it's not consistent. You know, if you want your business to grow, we don't all have storefronts. And if you're not somewhere, that's like your sign being turned on when those you're open.
Right.
So, yeah. So we'll talk about that later. But Jesus, tell us a little bit about your personal journey and what is Kingdom Capital?
Yeah, so a personal journey, you know, I've been doing this for 3 years now. Before I did life insurance and investments, I was working as a mechanic. Long story short, I mean, I think everybody has a dream they want to follow. Like you said earlier, if without a dream, it's not going to be really easy to take that path, you know? So my dream was to become, you know, financially free and make sure I can provide just the freedom for my parents and create generational wealth in the future. I'm 20 years old, by the way. You know, a lot of people tend to mistake me. Oh, you don't look 20. You almost not 20. You know, but me personally, working at a mechanic shop and just getting paid $10 an hour cash, guys, I mean, it was terrible, terrible, terrible. I said, you know what? Where is a business where I can make a change? You know, what is a business where I can provide high quality, high value? I live by those two terms, by the way, high quality, high value, because just like real estate, jewelry, you know, tattoo artists, it's with serving high value. When you're in a market so competitive, how can I actually be different from the crowd? You know, how can I stand out? Being in this personal development journey, I've been able to find myself shocking, because I never knew I'd be in a I'd be in front of a crowd where I'd be able to share a story, you know, being able to provide value. So, you know, my personal growth was just, it was amazing, just because of the fact of starting at a young age, being able to grow from mistakes, failures, and being able to pivot around my certain mistakes and things from there.
What are the services that you specialize in? Because when they hear Kingdom Financial is a very broad word.
Makes sense.
What's your ideal customer? What does that look like?
So if, you know, any kind of customer or client that I sell with, it's usually term life insurance investments. That is usually my top two that I focus on besides that.
So when somebody comes in and sits with you, because a lot of people, we went through this a couple of years ago, looking at like life insurance, right, being in our, at that point, like late 30s, early 40s, you don't know if you want term, if you want whole life, like you, as a consumer, there's not a lot of information out there that's real clear. If you start looking at the information, and no matter where you're looking, it seems to have a biased direction based on what the agent or company is trying to push. If somebody sits down with you and says, look, man, I don't want to be spun around in circles. What's going to be best for me and my budget and my family for me to have financial wealth if something happens to me? You know, are you able to break that down? You don't have to do it here now, but when somebody wants to reach out to you, is that something that they can understand easily?
Yeah. So I actually, if you look at my Facebook, I have so many educational videos, right? Educational videos. They're like, what, 30 seconds long, 40 seconds long. I mean, think about it. You have 24 hours in a day. Imagine a 30 to a 40 second video, what it could do for you. At the end of the day, you know, Michael said, I'm not trying to sell you anything at all. Right. At the end of the day, I want to provide you educational tips that will help you influence to change your life better in your circumstances. If you're looking for term life, if you're looking for whole life, I'm willing to break down a financial statement on exactly your perspective, what path to take, this path, take that path. Okay, so why shouldn't I take this path? Oh, well, because of BNC, you know? Then we can kind of, we really can understand more about what can be best for the clientele. And then go from there, because I want to be on the same page just as well.
Kingdom Financial, what's kind of your core values with Kingdom Financial? Like, what is it you want? Because there's a lot of agents out in the world that do what you do. And you do have a lot of videos. Do you get traction off of these videos? Have people come to you and like need some help with life insurance?
So with that, so let me tell you a little background on Facebook stuff. I used to do a lot of Instagram, and then I realized that of the community.
What, Shelly? What? Oh, Kingdom Capital.
Hey, I'm gonna take both Kingdom Financial, Kingdom Capital. Yeah, I love you, right? So, you know, back to what I was saying, you know, social media, back to social media. I personally would say, you know, I just love being on social media because a lot, like I said earlier, a lot of people grab their phones, they're always on social media, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. It's a lot more convenient for me to be posting videos on there because if I can pop up on their screen, then they're watching some type of information that can actually indicate their life and it can help them financially wise as well. So that's basically where I stand on that.
And how old is Kingdom Capital?
Okay, so watch this. A lot of people don't know this, but if you look, I feel like in my bio, it should say the actual company, Primerica. So Primerica is a North America company. Kingdom Capital is just part of my agency.
Actually, it was right there.
On, yep.
There it is.
So Primerica is on Google.
So you Primerica is who you work
with. Correct.
Okay.
We're a Fortune 400 company. We've been here for 45 years. We've won a lot of rewards in the past 45 years. There's a video about that as well. Capital is my agency. It's based in Seattle. We have about 20 agents from my team. So I've just been working and just trying to build it, everything.
And what's the best way for people to reach out to you? Like people to contact you, whether do you do free consultations?
Correct, I do. So okay. Free Zoom calls, by the way. I 20-minute Zoom calls, whether it's in person or on Zoom.
Okay.
And keep in mind, I don't have an office, by the way. Actually, Seattle, but he has a story, right? Me, I'm more like a personal. You know how when they order pizza, they come to you, right? I'm exactly like that. You know, I come here to give you value. I'm coming here to give you the best world-class service for you as well. So if you see that message button right there, you can just message me and just give me a text, and then it will go from there.
You're 20 years old. You're breaking into the financial world.
Right.
Went from a $10 an hour mechanic to, you know, no longer. People think, oh, you're going from getting your hands dirty to sit behind a desk. There's a whole different level of work. People don't understand. When you get into like a financial world or a desk job, doing like a physical laborious job is tough in a different way. Your body might be tired, but just like Pablo said earlier, the mental struggle you'll go through in trying to give the client what they want. And not just that one client, but you're constantly trying to think of a way to be different, stand out. That can take a mental toll on you too. I bet you found yourself just as tired at the end of the day doing this, sitting behind a desk, that as you have, you know, beating yourself up physically.
Yeah.
They're both the same in a lot of ways and different in a lot of ways. What advice would you have for a 20-year-old? Let's talk about some of the hurdles, obstacles you have as a 20-year-old. I'm going to pose a question and you tell me if I'm wrong, because I dealt with this. I'm similar to you at a young age. I kind of got into like the hustle of sales and value of that nature. A lot of people didn't want to take me serious just because of my age. You could have somebody that knew less than me, but because they were 45, they wanted to listen to them due to like egos. How have you overcome getting people to take you serious? And what advice would you have for a 20-year-old that's going, fuck, nobody wants to listen to what I got to say because I'm only 20 years old?
Makes sense. So like, I'm gonna start with this. You know, just getting your skill set. Like me, still getting better with getting better how to overcome objections, getting better on certain tactics that I can use when I sit down on a one-on-one. Guys, I sleep till 3 a.m. and wake up at 7, sometimes at 8, I'm not going to lie to you. And just that consistency over time, I've told myself, because I've been in a situation before, a funny story, there was a 40-year-old who was trying to kind of overpower me over, oh, I'm older than you just because I know this. And it was just a huge, huge just mess. It was just a huge mess, right? But after that, I learned, you know what? My goal is to make sure, I'm going to go back to what I was saying, I give world-class service to anybody and meet anyone at their highest level. Because if I can do that, then age wouldn't matter. It just becomes more about who can give you the value that you deserve and being able to offer what you have on the table, you know? So some tips would be just, you know, getting your set up, communicating a lot better. And then also, I appreciate you so much for complimenting the way I was dressed. That is a huge thing too. We as human beings, we have 30 seconds to judge someone based on how they look. So based on that right there, they're going to be like, okay, well, your dress is really great. That means the business is quality. Now, I definitely want to know about what he has to say, what he has to offer. And that,
especially being in the financial industry, we all judge a book by its cover.
Right.
And until we get to read the book, we don't really know what we like about the book. But you want people to open it up and take a read of the first page. And that goes with every industry. A tattoo artist, he's not going to walk in a suit and tie.
Right. Man.
I'd be like, what is this guy doing? It would seem odd to me. Same thing. I mean, look, that's if realtors had a suit, like a go to the store and buy realtor clothes, you'd be dressed like Mike over here.
Right. Correct.
And everybody's kind of dressed for their part, including me. I'm a podcast guy. I got a hoodie on that has my podcast.
Right.
I think that says a lot about your character, man. The fact that you can be transparent and you're 20 years old, which means in order for you to be successful doing this, you don't get to do what a lot of other 20-year-olds do, meaning I'm going out till 3 or 4 in the morning, drinking, drugging, whatever. It's not like old music. Don't drink and drug, kids. It's bad for you. But the reality is you can't do both. You really can't. If you were going to potentially be somebody I was buying life insurance from, and I happen one night to be out late and I see you wasting on the floor talking, I'm like, I'm not tuning back. I'm going to be in jail next week. You know, so you have to be conscious of your surrounding because you're probably judged a little more, a little less, more focused on you than somebody that's been in the industry for decades. Right. And you've got the backing of Primerica, which I've heard of Primerica. So most people doing their research on the services you offer have Primerica. So where can people find you? What's the best avenue to contact you?
For me personally, I know most of my clientele is on Facebook. I'm talking about like maybe people in the 30s and up. So if anyone's around that age, or maybe just Facebook, I'll have Instagram as well. But Facebook is my main priority that you can message me at. That's the reason why I have that message button right there. Just message me. And trust me, guys, just like Michael said, he's on the computer for 3 hours a day. Trust me, I'm on my phone every 24/7. I'm always looking for notifications, and I'm always alert for a lot of people trying to reach out to me. So, like, don't feel hesitant to reach out to me. Like Michael said again, I'm not trying to do anything at all, and that makes me different from this my industry giving you service.
Talking about your industry real quick, license specific, what state are you able to perform in?
Well, only Washington at the moment.
Washington at the moment. Okay. So for our people that are out of state, you could probably reach out to Michael and he can put you in touch with somebody through Primerica. Yes. Thank you. Did I call you Michael?
Jesus.
I don't know why. Sorry. I'm making my mind. Jesus. Yeah. Jesus, not Michael.
We look alike.
Not really. Jesus, thank you so much, brother, for coming on. Guys, I think we have one more, right, Shelly? All right, this is the last one. This one's worth $50, guys. Go ahead and make it big. The last one before we sign off here, it's 12 differences you must answer on YouTube. You have to go over to our YouTube channel, Wise Media Group. You've got, I don't know, two bears and some honey and some bees and stuff. So these are fun. Like, right? Your kids would like this, wouldn't it? Yeah. Actually, while they're looking at that, Brianna, can you pop back over? I wanted to ask you one more question. Because you're so new into the industry, you don't need your headphones if you don't want them. What advice, so you've gone from, you have a really fun job, like your day job is fun, but it's also mentally taxing because you
absolutely
have a lot of prep work to do. I went out and volunteered one day with you guys. And I was like, I'm not going to miss you again. I was getting yelled at by like somebody else. It wasn't given a shirt. I don't know. So it's a lot that you deal with setting up those events. It is mentally taxing. Do you feel that job mentally prepared you for what you're doing now? And what advice would you give somebody that's brand new, going into the industry, put your job to work or maintain your day job? Like, what's some advice?
You know, I have to go half and half on that because I mentioned earlier that my husband did quit his main job and went full into the jewelry while I have kept my job. So it very much differs how your family life is going, whether right. if you have the ability to quit your day job and work at a store that you maybe not won't be profitable for the first month or so. You don't know, really. I would say quit your day job.
How long have you guys been open?
This first building, we haven't really opened it at all yet.
Oh, okay.
So we have been there this week kind of by appointments only. And just setting it up, it's very still much in the works of getting things hung up, getting the shelving.
So it's marked today's date. Today is
the
18th. We want to bring you back in 90 days to showcase to people what are some of the, what you didn't expect, what was exactly what you expected. Were you profitable in 90 days? Or are you like, man, I'm glad I kept my day job because this might take another 6 months to turn a profit because you got expenses now, right?
You got
lights,
yeah.
Internet, all that fun stuff, rent. Yeah. So I think it'd be really cool. This is like, you know, you're in the infancy stage.
Yeah.
The incubator stage of starting a business where most businesses, what is it? Most businesses either make it or break it. What, first year. So this is, you know, people are going to be watching do or die.
That's it.
We're going to have you back in 90 days to talk about that, to see where you're at with it. So guys, let's make sure she survives. And you only do that with local support from Yakima because she's not going to get a million orders online. She's going to require people to come in there, find the value in what she's got going on. So Brianna, congratulations. And good luck.
And I look forward to seeing you.
All right, sweetie. All right, guys. If you haven't already figured this out, take a screenshot because we're going to go to, you got about 5 more seconds. Screenshot 4, 3, 2. Okay, that's for the website. One more time. If you are interested in being on our show, this whole segment is completely free. We get people asking all the time, does this cost anything? This is everybody that's here today has not paid a dime. It's free. However, if you find value in what we do, we are self-funded. If you do want to support the cause, you can scroll down to the bottom of this form, fill everything out as if you're going to be coming in to talk to us. And at the very, very bottom on the orange tab right there, if you're interested in sponsoring some upcoming episodes, we'd love to take your money because it will go towards great things like keeping the lights on. So I'm Dan Wise, Wise Media Group, People Helping People, Communities Method, one day at a time. I will see you guys next Thursday. And thank you guys for coming. It was an amazing, amazing crew. They didn't eat any of the nuts. I'm not wasting any more money on goodies, I guess.